Good morning, Colorado Springs. It's Angela Jones, and we are with you this morning for another brighter day in the neighborhood. We're welcoming today Tim Johnson. Hey, how are you, Tim?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. So Tim and I are actually well acquainted. Yep. We're family friends.
Yes.
And he is the Brighter Day Roaster, which we'll get into a little bit later. In chatting before we started, I actually found out a few things about you I didn't know, and one was about your love of music. So let's let's first talk about that.
Yeah. So I grew up, so family background, we all play music. My mom plays music. My dad is a musician.
Right.
Growing up, just jazz, all that kind of stuff. I grew up playing instruments. I learned how to play in elementary school. And funny story, fun fact is in elementary, after like learning like orchestra instruments like violin, viola and stuff like that, I actually liked lower sounding instruments. I didn't want to do the bass, but then, you know, you have the cello.
Right, right.
And so I actually taught myself how to play the cello.
You taught yourself how to play the cello.
There's a few songs that I really enjoyed like hearing, like, cause they had like more of a melody piece in there.
Yeah.
So I taught myself how to play the cello, those pieces in particular. And after I was done with that, I was like, all right, that was fun.
That was done. You're done. What were the pieces?
You were asked that. So I don't remember what they were called, but they, you know, it was like one of those ones. It's just like a dun, 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 dun. It almost seems like it should be a bass part, but it's the cello part in the orchestra. Funny enough.
I got you. Yeah. I got you.
So it was always like one of these catchy rhythms that I was like, I just need to know this. And I was like, it doesn't sound very extraordinary when I hummed it, but it's like, considering the fact a 10-year-old is doing it.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
When I was 10, I figured it out.
And I think there's this, you know, that song, what it's like bringing to my mind anyway, is that song by Gautier that was like someone I used to know. It's like, bonk, bonk. Bom, 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 bom. That kind of a thing.
Yeah,
bom, bom,
that's right.
Bom. Like without that line, without that deep bass kind of line, and it wouldn't be nearly as
like
cool.
Noise.
Right. And that's what, well, and I, yeah, especially when I'm humming it there, it sounds like a super noise.
So
besides those instruments that you learn to play, what all instruments do you play?
So I do play the guitar.
Uh-huh.
I do enjoy doing that. I play electric a little bit. So there's a little bit of difference there. Like with acoustic, it's more rhythm. Electric is, you know, solo stuff, but you're kind of making the fillers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Bass guitar, I can play the foundational stuff of that. That's pretty easy for me. But I don't want to take that away from bass players because true bass players can really shred and they're amazing. That's what I like.
Right.
I try the drums.
Uh-huh.
Funny enough, I can't hold the rhythm.
Really?
Not with drums.
That's funny.
Yeah. And my dad was a professional drummer. He was in the military, in the Marines as a drummer. He was jazz classical. Is that a thing? Yeah. Jazz classical trained as a drummer.
Okay.
And so he, back in the day in the 70s, he was in a Christian rock band called Earthen Vessel.
Huh.
So, and they had a female singer, so that literally people were like, dude, you guys are like Janis Joplin. And they kind of sounded like it in a way.
Wow.
But professional, they have their own CD and stuff like that. But after that, he would play for like Elvis impersonations and stuff like that. And so he would go on tour.
That's
awesome.
They
do all that kind of stuff. And so he's really he's the best drummer right now.
But did Elvis play the drums?
No.
Oh.
He was just part of the band. So
oh, I got you.
You know what I'm saying? Those Elvis impersonators sing and he was part of the band.
Oh, I thought you meant he was like impersonating Elvis playing the drum. I'm like, well, that's interesting.
Yeah,
oh,
you're
that's
like,
a
he
first.
Didn't play the drums.
I was like, next. He could have. I know, right? So, okay. All right. So I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yep.
Because in your bio that you provided, you know, which is where I figured this out.
Wow.
It says you're a guitarist at heart. So let's see if you're a guitarist in real life.
Wow. Okay. We got a guitar here.
Out. There we go.
Kick the dust off this thing here.
Yeah. I pulled it off the wall here at Mountain Country. Literally pulled it off the wall. So you're going to give us a musical treat.
Yeah. Let's see what we can do here. Let's see. Some of these oldies but goodies. You actually want a song? I could do a song.
Yeah, do a song. Can you move that mic in? Thanks.
Let's see. I don't even know what I'm going to play. Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm filling it all up. Because because he lives. Oh, I'm gonna be all sad out of tune. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future.
Sorry.
That's all right.
And life is worth
I can't remember how it goes.
Living just because he lives.
I'm just going to butcher that.
That's okay.
I walked off and said, what am I going to play?
I had another guest who was a gospel singer,
uh-oh,
put her on the spot. And then she's like, okay, I'll do this if you do it with me. And I'm like, girl, you don't even know what you just asked. Because, you know, you want to talk about pain? for everybody listening, yeah, that is.
Absolutely. So, no, I can't play. Is not very good at the singing.
No. So, which one of your jams? Like, you know, I mean, I think I learned how to play like a riff of Another One Bites the Dust. Mm-hmm. You know, that was it. That's pretty much it. I always wanted to play the drums. May have to hit your dad up for some lessons.
Seriously, yeah. I'll try to play something real quick. If I can, I just have to remember how to play it.
Okay.
It's out of tune too. It's hard. Which makes it easier to play.
Is that Amazing Grace you're tuning? No?
I'm just trying to make sure it gets back in tune.
Gotcha. I think it's amazing that you can just like on the fly just start playing and tuning and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you gotta hear it. Not all can. Let's see.
That's all right.
Still off.
This place is trying to break my belief, but my faith is bigger than all I can see, and what I need is redemption. What I need is for you to put me back on my feet.
That's awesome. Thank you. That is so cool.
That's a fun song.
So, do you ever play music at your business spot? No.
So, yeah? No, I don't.
Okay. So, but tell me more about that, because that's that I told you where I mentioned earlier that you're the Brighter Day Roaster, mm-hmm, and so that's the music's your side gig.
Yes,
very side gig.
Very side. as we just found out.
Well, you may have just gotten discovered. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, God works in mysterious ways. Who knows?
Yeah. Put me on the blacklist. That's all right.
Absolutely. Put you on the no-fly list. What's even happening right now?
That's right.
But let's talk a little bit more about, like, you know, your calling, your passion to roasting. Yep,
absolutely. So funny thing. So honestly, so years ago at my church, we wanted to do a coffee shop, right? And so we started looking around for different roasters locally, like, hey, how can we do this, make this happen? Because above all else, for the proceeds of the coffee shop, mm-hmm, we're going to go to this organization that the church I was affiliated with at the time, to this orphanage, Nigerian orphanage in particular. And so having said that, we were like, okay, cool, let's go ahead and do that. And we were looking at pricing and all this kind of stuff. But then, like, God was really, because me and my wife, Laura, we already had, like, coffee experience.
And Laura's your business partner in the coffee business.
And wife. Okay. Yeah.
And wife.
Yeah. So best friend.
Your wife, Laura, is your business partner.
Yes.
In the coffee thing. Got it.
And so we have all this coffee background. And so anyway, God was just really kind of putting it on my heart, because I was just like, you know, I worked at a coffee shop. I knew things about coffee, you know, and all that stuff as well. And it got to the place where I was like, you know what? I started liking coffee so much. I was like, how do they roast it?
Right.
How does it become that thing that everybody loves? You pour a cup of coffee,
right,
and you can have a conversation about X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Yeah. Life happens with coffee, right?
Right.
And so finally, we got our hands on a roaster, really good deal. That's a long story in itself. We can probably say that for another time if you want.
Mm.
But I started learning how to roast, and I had to find, you know, beans to put them in these roasters and just to figure out how to do this. And so I was horrible at it.
Horrible at roasting.
Horrible at roasting. I was horrible because A, I didn't have anyone to learn from.
Right.
B, in those days and age, like, nobody's going to tell you how to roast because that's like the recipe of,
right,
of other coffee shops, businesses. Like, you think, you know, the bigger ones, you know,
wasn't
you have
on
like,
YouTube.
Yeah. It's not on YouTube, no. Like Dutch, right, Bros, Starbucks, whatever, like,
right,
all these,
right,
like big ones who are making it really, really big. And it's like, they're not going to tell you how they do that,
mm,
for good reason. And so begins the journey, right?
Okay.
So my family and friends, they love me, but they love me even more because I'd be roasting and I would mess it up and I'd be like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't like a dark roast. Do you want it? They're like, yes, just give it to me. I'll drink all the coffee. So
right,
that was great. So eventually, as through this walk, I'm just like, you know, it's kind of just kind of shows you as a human being how you can just go do the things you want to do, but then you forget to ask your greatest partner advice on what you should do. And the greatest partner I'm talking about
is God,
is God,
Laura,
Jesus,
right?
Yes,
gotcha.
The Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
You know, and enter in, hey, here's my great partner.
Right.
And I'm like, how do I do this?
Right.
I'm like, you're the one who created coffee. So how do I do this? And so I'm not going to share my recipe, but I will kind of walk,
right,
you through it.
Yeah.
And he gave me a number.
To like roast a temperature number.
Like a temperature number. He,
okay,
gave me a number. And I was like, at that time, I was like, I'm not using that number.
Mm.
I'm not going to use it. I'm just, you know, I'm like, I'm going to say a lot. People can have speculation of what they think it is. And that's fine. You know,
right,
they might,
right,
be right. They might be wrong. It doesn't matter.
Right. It's okay.
It's my story.
Uh-huh.
It's my recipe. But anyway, he gave me a number. I avoided it. Angela,
okay,
I avoided it for,
okay,
years.
Okay.
I actually adjusted it a couple temperatures higher so it wouldn't be that number. Because in my past, that number meant something completely different.
Oh, wow.
So I avoided it at all costs. And so at the beginning stages, even probably like you, you know, like you're getting your business out there and you're asking people for input. Hey, feedback. What do you think about these beans? Do you like it? Don't you like it? If you don't like it, what about it don't you like? I'm all good for feedback. Tell me,
right,
if you don't,
right,
like it, I'm okay. You're not going to hurt my feelings, right? So I had a friend give it to one of his coffee connoisseurs, and it was probably weeks later after he gave it to his friend. He came back to me. He's like, dude, my friend loves your coffee. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. He's like, he does have some feedback for you. And I was like, oh,
okay.
I was like, okay, great. What is it? And he's like, if you lower the temperature 1 or 2 degrees, it would be really good.
Like perfect. If you just knock off those 2 degrees that you added to it.
To the number that he, God told me to put it on. Exactly. And I was like, what? I was like, wait, what did you say? And he told me that again. He's like, yeah, he said, and I was like, that's very specific. And he's like, yeah, I thought so too. And I was like, whoa, I still avoided it.
Mm.
Isn't it funny how we don't learn our lesson, right? And so finally it was like sometime later, right?
Right.
Sometime later. And I'm sitting there in the middle of a batch because I pray in tongues when I roast. So
okay.
I'm just like, this, it's my God time, right?
Right, right.
And so I'm in there doing that. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit tells me, I make all things new.
Mm.
And he said that to me as soon as I looked over at the temperature on the roaster, he said that to me. And I was like, what? I was like, I know you do that. He was like, listen to me. I make all things new.
So forget the old number and what it meant.
It broke me. I bawled my eyes out because I was like, oh my gosh, you were so right. I'm like, you are the creator of everything. Just because a world has a number associated with like a meaning or a definition,
right,
doesn't mean that's what it means.
Right.
So I listened. And
yeah.
I was like, fine, as much as it, even still this day, I can still put it to the number and there's still that little something inside where it's kind of, and I'm like, shut up, you know, like, I don't need to hear that anymore. Like,
right.
There's that healing. There's that other stuff that's a part of that.
Right,
so,
right.
So anyway, so I do that. So anyway, we do that for a living. So Copper Fox Coffee Roasters, that's who we are.
Okay.
Coffee with a purpose, coffee with a heart. Okay.
All right.
What that simply means, Angela, is this. Not only do we make great coffee because I love the way I roast coffee because I love a nice medium roast.
Right.
And like lighter. I'm not a dark roast guy like I've been mentioning.
Right.
Not there's anything wrong with that, but I prefer it.
Right.
Medium or lighter. Okay. But having said that, 10% minimum
mm-hmm.
of our proceeds go to fight human trafficking. Minimum.
Okay.
So that's the heart behind it all. So going backtracking to the very beginning of the church I was affiliated with, we're doing a coffee shop and we're going to give money to the, you know, these orphans and all this stuff. Well, the church is no longer exists. Okay. So that never happened. So it was one of these things where it's like me and Laura were like, well, what are we going to do with this? And so we're like, well, we're just going to continue to roast coffee. And it's like, well, where are we going to give our money? And we're like, well, we'll just pray and we'll continue to ask. So Laura had a dream where, I'm going to roll this really quickly, and I know she's going to hate this, but I'm just going to roll over it really quickly. There was something that she saw where she woke up and she got the coffee with a purpose, coffee with a heart. That's what that was in her dream. So that was from God. But she also saw in her dream names of children written down, affiliated with coffee. And so I was like, okay, that's interesting. I don't know where this is going.
Right.
Basically, because it's all fresh, right? So fast forward a little bit down the road with the ministry I'm also still working with as well. We have a partnership with them, but there's a local ministry here, a local organization here in Colorado Springs called the Exodus Road.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do. They fight human trafficking. They do the covert work. They play the role as the person going into a brothel looking for a 7-year-old child, whether it's a boy or a girl. And they say, what can I get? And they have, and so anyway, we purchased the covert gear. So the cameras, just the stuff that's, you know, it's hidden on your jacket. You would never know there's a microphone or even a small little video camera on there. And so we started, you know, giving to them because the Exodus Road, whenever they rescue a child, they take that child's name and they write it on a rock. And we saw that in one of their videos. And we were like, oh.
Goodness.
We're like, that's too much of a connection.
Right.
And so we're like, and so that's where we've given our, you know, money towards with that. And it's like, hey, what do you guys do? And they do the covert work. Right. So it's not nothing. I mean, the stories are fascinating coming from the people who play the role. And it's just kind of like, I don't know how you guys do that. And they're like, well, we could take you on a trip sometime if you're interested. And I was like, I'd give it away. I'm bad at lying.
Yeah.
I'm a bad liar.
Right.
And I'm like, if you think, you know, I mean, human trafficking in general, you know, you talk about children, you think about the drug industry, it's usually paired two and, you know, one and two together. But it's one of those things where it's like, if they know you're there to take them out, it's just like going in for a drug bust with people with, you know, cocaine or whatever, they're going to kill you. So I was like, I don't want to be dead because I don't know how to lie. And I'm not like that as far as what they're there to do, but, it's a good cause. So that's what we do. So like I said, minimum 10%. There's been years where we've given 49, and it's just one of those avenues where God has given us the opportunity to do wholesale with other companies, partner with other companies like yourself.
Right.
And also online, you know, we don't do this. We don't have a storefront. We don't, you know, we don't make drinks and things like that. We're just more behind the scenes doing those things and just providing coffee and resources. And
well, I'm a little bummed out because I was hoping to be able to come and, like, you know, enjoy some coffee and listen to some music and
it's kind of killer, right?
Right. No, I'm just kidding. So you're listening to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. I'm your host, Angela Jones, on KPPF. Okay, so let's talk about Tim Johnson, the dad. You have kids.
I do have kids. I have children.
Yes, and they're here. They're actually here in studio with us. Watching us intently. That's super fun. But they're so well behaved.
Yeah.
So was it always like your big part of your overall dream to have boys? And
I think, you know, at some point in time you go through those stages and you're like, yeah, I want family.
Yeah.
You know, there's just something, you know, there's something legacy where you look further past yourself, right? And you're like, okay, what's going to be there? Of course, there's other things you can do. I'm not saying family's the end all be all, but it's like, there's other things that people can do. But it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I think it's put in you.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, tell me about some of the leadership lessons you've learned by, you know, through being a dad.
Wow. That's a great question. Really being in the moment.
Okay.
Like, I know people say that a lot, and even where I work out, we say that a lot, but it's like, well, let me say, for example, you.
Right.
You're treating a client. You can't just be like, you're doing, you know, typing, you know, you're like, yeah, and you're listening. It's like, you can't be, you know, like you're there. You have to listen to what's going on. And especially with children, you know, with them there as you're raising them, they don't know anything. They only know what they pick up from you, what you teach them, what they see on TV or at school or whatever. And so it's one of those things where it's like, if you want to bring out the best in yourself into somebody else, it's going to be them.
Right.
You know, that's going to be a big part of it. So learning to take the time to slow down and really just be with people.
Right.
Even if it's confrontational, like that's, I think in my opinion, especially in confrontational moments.
So
like,
then we're going to talk about Charlie here in a minute, though.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, we can do that. Confrontation's good, especially with him.
And Charlie's Tim's brother, who is, I was explaining earlier to the listeners with the family friend connection. Yep. And Charlie is probably one of the most intelligent young people I've ever met. It's
brilliant.
It is mind blowing.
Yes.
And he just enjoys the heck out of just saying things.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying things.
So. Yeah. It's always fun to cut up with him.
It is.
And also, because you have a brilliant son as well.
Yes.
Dan.
Yeah.
That guy right there. I mean,
those two with the best friends. That guy right there. That's right. That's right.
He's awesome. I love that guy. He's so much fun. So.
And but, they both call me Angel Jones.
Angel Jones.
That's what they do. They both call me my first and last name the whole time.
That's awesome. I love that.
So it's pretty funny. That is awesome. Okay. So is that like these, you know, sort of learning about like how to be there, mm-hmm. to be present in the moment. Is that something, I'm sure it started at home. Is that something mm-hmm. you really picked up from your dad or your parents? Or is that something that, you know, there yeah. were some other sort of pivotal thing yeah. that happened to sort of, like really, you know, clarify that for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, growing up, I grew up with a single mom. Mm. So, and with a single parent, she was an orchestra teacher. That's where, mm-hmm. you know, again, the music stuff. So she was awesome. She did a great job. Mm-hmm. She did a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
She also had to do, private lessons afterwards, mm-hmm. which cut into, you know, a lot of our time, which, you know, I get it. You're providing for a family,
right?
You know, but that's one thing I learned from being in the moment is where it's like, hey, when you have that time, like you're just focused, like
right.
it's you, you know, and I find, you know, and I'm not saying I'm perfect and I do it all the time. I find myself in, especially with my oldest, Caleb, he is amazing. Cause he'll come up to me and he'll be like, Dad, he's just like, Dad. And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. you need my attention. I'm like, yes. Okay. Let's do this. And so just really being able to pay attention. Because they really love you. They want to be with you. They want to know, the things you know. They want to do the things you do. They love you. You know, so it's one of those things where it's like, it takes its toll sometimes that like every parent would know, you know, mm. but it's a lot of fun. And I think with those leadership qualities, it gives you the opportunity to bring that into humans.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of practice because, you know, they're very foundational. So it's kind of one of those things I don't think a lot of people notice when you're raising kids, unless you're like a nanny or something, that's what you do for a living. Then you're,
right.
I feel like if you're a nanny, you have really good communication skills because you know how to communicate to somebody who doesn't know anything. And if you can get them to understand what you're saying,
right.
you're brilliant. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
And so, and I'm just like the gospel.
Yeah.
Explain to a 4-year-old or even a 7-year-old that Jesus died on the cross for your sins.
Right.
Why?
Are like, what's a sin?
Yeah, they're like, what is it? Why would he do that?
And I remember asking that question right? in the first place. Like, seriously, yeah. and was raised in the church, but at some point in time when I became an adult, I'm like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
I mean, like, okay, died for my sins, but what is that? You
yeah.
know, and really kind of being able to break that down, you know,
and
what
as
that
an adult,
means.
We're like, okay, yeah, sin. Okay, yeah, he died for us. He loves us. Okay, I get that. This still pushback, follow-up conversation.
Yeah.
Why would he do that? That's silly, Dad.
Right.
And it's like, let me try this again. you know, so it's like, I just think it's really good training ground, I think, for any adult as well. Again, especially the adults who are teachers in the teaching industry as well. It's like, man, they know how to communicate because, mm. you know, you're speaking to a human being at a different level that's, some of them are higher, but some of them are lower than yourself. And it's like really digging inside, trying to figure out how to communicate so somebody can understand what you're saying.
That was never my strong suit when the kids were little. Like I tried the homeschooling gig for a minute, mm-hmm. and I learned in that time frame, while I like my kids a lot, I am not a teacher per se, you know, because I'd mm-hmm. go, oh, well, Mom, how do you blah, blah, you just do it like this. What? I don't understand. What? How can you not understand? So on the other end of the spectrum, you have
yeah.
people like me
yeah.
who are, I guess maybe, I don't know. I mean, communication, I think we all have sort of our purpose and mm-hmm. calling mm-hmm. and how we do what we do. And one of the things that, you know, I have found is just to have an adaptability, like to be able to be with a person in the moment.
Yeah.
And I think probably at this age, you know, and I'm really looking forward to like my children eventually having children. I think I'll be a much different type of communicator with children, like grandchildren or whatever, than I was when, you know, I was, you know, like 20 years old and had a baby, or 22 years old and had a toddler, or something like that, or preschoolers before I was 30, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's something else. Mm-hmm. And that communication piece is, it's really, really important, you know. Yeah. Do the boys get in on any of the roasting?
They do.
Ooh, tell me about that.
Oh my gosh. So Caleb is, he basically, he can do it.
Does he know the number?
He doesn't know the number. That's why I was like, he can basically do it. No, it's so fascinating. Even my youngest Ferris, he buttons, sirens start going off, and they know what buttons to push. Mm-hmm. They know how to do all this stuff, and they know when it's time to cool down. They know when it's time to, you know, to open it, to dump all the stuff out. Like, they're around it. Like, even like right now, I mean, they're just around it. Like, we get our orders and we unload them. They're there and they just hop up on the giant pallets and we take pictures of them. And they're just like, "Dad, we got new coffee," you know? And like, they're all about it. They love it. They're in it. And, Ferris actually is the coffee drinker.
Really?
And he's only 4. Right. And so Laura, she's like, she'll be making her drink, her beverage, and she'll put it down.
And he's like,
and he just sneaks out of nowhere, and he just takes it and just starts guzzling it down. And I'm just kind of like, you think he'd be bouncing off the walls, but I'm like, it does nothing to him.
It does nothing to me. So I think it's just the way certain people's brains are wired, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's bad. I just think it is, you know what I'm saying? But it's the same thing. I can literally drink a cup of your coffee, you know, the stuff you roast. And that's the whole thing. Like, with the dark roast, actually has less caffeine than the lighter roast. And a lot of people don't know that. They think, oh, dark must be more. Yeah. No, the lighter the roast, the higher the caffeine.
That's right.
And so I'll drink your coffee, your lighter roast coffee, and then fall out. And in fact, my kids think it's hilarious, because if I sit down on the couch and drink coffee, and I'm out. You know, they're like, don't lay down. Gone.
Don't do it.
Mid sentence, she's out.
Don't do that kind of
thing. So I think we have a special treat for our listeners to this. And so I think you're going to be preparing like little sets or little packs of the
little packs of coffee
the Brighter Day roast. And so in order for our listeners to take advantage of that, this will be posted online, be posted on the website, wherever you find the podcast, whether it's on the radio station or at our website or your website. All they have to do is kind of put their details in. We just need the name and email. And we will get connected to send a sample of some of your fantastic Brighter Day blend coffee.
That's right. All the locals. Hit us up.
Yeah, awesome. I know. Yep. And so otherwise, if somebody wants to get a hold of you to, you know, either find out more, you know, and remind me one more time what the name of the organization you support.
So it's through the Exodus Road.
Exodus Road. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. And to find out more about Exodus Road and how they might be able to support or serve with Exodus Road, and or how to get in touch with you about, you know, because you do custom batches of coffee, wholesale, whatever.
Yeah,
how do we get a hold of you for the
That? That's a great question. Uh-huh. So anyone could simply go to CopperFoxCoffeeRoasters.com.
Okay.
Or actually CopperFoxCoffee.com. I got a few of them out there, but CopperFoxCoffee.com, and I have a whole listing on there. If you're interested in wholesale needs, we have a portion on there where you can fill out your information. We'll be in contact with you, and we'll work something out.
Well, thank you so much, Tim, for joining us and for the impromptu for concert.
Yeah.
And, you know,
the
and
cat
for
screaming show or something.
No, it was awesome. It was awesome. So, and thank you all for joining us for another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. We are here every Sunday at this same time and space. Until you join us again, wishing you brighter days. Thank you.